Please rise. Grace be unto you and peace from the one true triune God who has made himself known to us in the scriptures as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who bids us to love because we have been loved, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. We all learned in grade school that 2 + 2 = 4. We also learned that if you have 10 apples and you give 8 of them away, you must, of necessity, have fewer apples, 2 to be exact. So is it possible to give something away and not have less, but more? Mathematics and logic tell us no. It's not possible to give something away and end up with more. But our Heavenly Father tells us something entirely different. Despite what mathematics and logic say, our Heavenly Father tells us that if we honor him with our possessions, with our time and with our talents, we will not have less, but we'll have more. For you see, the more we use these things in the service of the Lord, the more we will be blessed spiritually and eternally. By the grace of all God, we've all received the greatest gift of all, the gift of faith in Jesus Christ. We look forward to the day when the Savior himself will return to retrieve us, the day when we will be forever separated from sin and death. And when that day comes, we will fall to our knees and thank our Savior. In the meantime, we are to be living with eternity on our minds. And this morning, our loving Father, who sent his Son, Jesus, to save us, reminds us that we are to live as good stewards. A steward is a person who takes care of someone else's possessions. And we are stewards, because all that we possess truly belongs to the Lord. For it is written, Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." When I was a very little boy, my parents wanted me to learn about my Savior Jesus. Since my reading skills at that time were still in the formative stage, they went out and bought me a bunch of little arch books from Concordia Publishing House. My children have many of the same books today, and even today when I see the pictures in those books, I'm immediately transported back to my childhood. When I read the words of Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, I couldn't help but think of one of those little arch books. I remember reading about the master who gave 3 of his servants each a bag of money and told them, "Use my money until I come back." The first servant went out and used the money given to him to earn another bag of money for his master. The second servant used the money to earn a half a bag of money for his master. But the third servant, he's the one I remember, took his bag of money and dug a hole in the basement and hid it. When the master returned, he was happy with 2 of the 3 servants and said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful in a little thing, I will give you much more." The master had a different message for the servant that I remember, the one who dug the hole and put his master's money in it. He said to him, "You wicked servant, what little you have will be taken from you." Now, I remember the story mostly because of the pictures. The story itself, however, is based on a parable of Jesus, and it teaches an important lesson, and it's this simple. Everything that we have or will ever have truly belongs to the Lord. And while the Lord is away preparing a place for us in heaven, he wants us to use the gifts that he's given to each one of us out of his storehouse to glorify him. The word of the Lord from Proverbs this morning is the same. For the Lord speaks to us all when he says through Solomon, honor the Lord with your possessions. And who of us could question the fact that God has blessed us with possessions? Think about it for a moment. Every day the Lord provides you with health and strength to rise from your beds and use your bodies and minds to accomplish different tasks. None of us are exactly the same. None of us have exactly the same gifts and abilities. And while God has also given all of us these gifts and abilities, he also at the same time holds the universe together every day and directs our steps. As I mentioned, he's given each of us different gifts. I can barely add and subtract some days. But others of you have been given the ability to work with numbers, calculating and keeping track of them all day long. I use my hands basically to turn pages in books and tap out sermons on a keyboard. Others of you use your hands to build houses and things like that. There are some of you who have the ability to teach, while others hold positions of authority and help out in the healthcare system. And through these gifts, we each make a living, and we are paid for using the gifts that God has graciously given to us individually. What's truly sad, though, and perhaps I'm only speaking for myself here, is that we take the blessings for granted, and we think of them as our right. What's worse yet is that we take for granted the greatest of all gifts. God sent his only Son to suffer and to die for us, that through him we might have everlasting life apart from sin and death. He's given us his word, which is more powerful than anything else we possess, able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And yet I can speak for myself when I say I begin each day with hardly a word of thanks. Surrounded by blessings, but we seem to forget that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So how can we begin to give thanks to God for these blessings? Well, when we use all of our possessions, all of our gifts and abilities, physical, mental, financial, spiritual, to honor the Lord, we honor the Lord with our possessions. We support the ministry here with the gifts our God has given to each one of us because we have been given this responsibility. We don't ask the general public to put new shingles on the roof here or to pave a new parking lot because this is the ministry that God has given to us and we support it with our possessions. We honor the Lord with our possessions when we use them to provide for ourselves and our families. This is one of the reasons that the Lord gives us health and the ability to work so that we may provide for our own. In fact, the Lord goes so far as to say that if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We honor the Lord when we pay our taxes. Nobody likes to hear that. But it's the Lord who says to us, "Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And finally, as we learned, I believe, last week, we honor the Lord with our possessions when we use them to provide for those in need, for those who cannot work. When we serve others out of love for the Savior, Jesus tells us we're giving back to him. The Bible tells us that we use our possessions properly in these four areas. But if we waste our gifts, we gamble them away. We do not honor the Lord with our possessions, but dishonor him. If we consider the gift more important than the giver himself, then we do not honor the Lord with our possessions, but dishonor him. But if we keep our priorities straight and seek to honor the Lord with our possessions, then we will be blessed with great abundance. The Savior said it very simply: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things we need to live, will be added to you. Now, in the Old Testament, God commanded his people Israel to give 10%, a tithe of all that they possessed. Not just a tithe of their wages, a tithe of everything. He also commanded that when they began the harvest each year, that they were to take the first ripe grains and fruits, the first fruits, and bring them to the Lord in the temple. Of course, the Lord didn't have any need of fruits and vegetables. But he wanted his people to remember that their food came from him. In a sense, those first fruits brought to the Lord were like a down payment and a reminder that there was much more to come from God. Of course, the Lord no longer, in the New Testament period, he does not require a tithe of each of us, that we give 10% of our goods or our time. What he asks is that we are moved by his love to give back to him out of love for what he has given us. That doesn't mean that we give back to the Lord what's left over after we have paid all our bills and had all the fun that we can possibly have during the week. No, the Apostle Paul encourages us that and lays down guidelines for our giving in the second letter to the Corinthians when he says, "This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Yes, we should give, but simply because of the tremendous gifts that we have been given. Love for Jesus should prompt us to give, and nothing else. And he's promised us that if we honor him with our possessions, if we use them to his glory, then we will not lack. But our storehouses will be full, bursting from the seams, as the proverb says, "So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Vats overflow with new wine? Some of you might know that I sometimes make beer and wine as a hobby. And I can speak from experience that when you make wine, you don't want to bottle your wine before the fermentation process is complete, because if you do, the pressure will blow the corks out of the bottles and the contents as well, which is bad, especially if you're storing your wine in your closet with your dress clothes. The gas increases until the new wine bursts forth and overflows. Well, our gracious God doesn't merely promise that we'll get by with just enough. He promises that we will be blessed abundantly. Our barns will be filled with plenty, and our vats will overflow with new wine. That doesn't mean we're going to have every possible material blessing. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be millionaires either. But I think you agree, we don't lack in any good thing. Food, shelter, clothing, and much more. But of course, this proverb isn't merely talking about the things that we put on or the things that we eat. Because in the end, those things count for nothing. They don't pay for our salvation. We can't take them with us. But in Christ Jesus, we lack no spiritual blessing as well. All of our sins stand forgiven. We have been promised eternal life by the one who keeps every promise. We know that at the judgment, we will be set free from sin and death forever, and in bodies glorified will spend eternity praising our gracious God. Yes, our barns already are filled with plenty and our blessings overflowing. So may Jesus help us to be good stewards of the gifts that he gives to us. May we serve him with all of our being and our substance, with all of our gifts and abilities, for no other reason than love for him, and because he's given everything to us. And then perhaps one day we will hear him say, as in that old little arch book, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come enjoy the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world." May the Lord make us good stewards of his riches. Amen. In the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.